a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I now call the House Commerce and Energy Committee to order. I would like to welcome all those here in attendance with us in our committee room, as well as those listening on the Internet. As a reminder, please make sure your cell phones and any other electronic device is turned off or made silent during this process. Any infractions will be dealt with severely and a fine levied and made available to a charity of the chair's choice. So consider yourself forewarned. And with that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Fargin, Greenfield, Holly, Hubble, Jensen, Jones, Kirschman, Miller, Nordstrom, Scott, Willardson, Consett, and Chair Solem.
Here.
We have a quorum.
And we have a quorum present. Since we did have a prior meeting, I would, and there are minutes, not very many minutes, but I would certainly appreciate approval of the minutes. Yes.
I move to approve the minutes.
The motion by Representative Willardson, seconded by Consett. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. On an administrative note, it was brought to my attention, and I noticed this actually last night, for those legislators that are using the ACT system that we have on our laptop, if you look at today's agenda, we have House Bill 1004 listed on our agenda, but when you pull up the text of that bill, it brings up 1003. We're not hearing 1003 today. We're hearing House Bill 1004. So if you need to go back in, I would suggest you go back in through the LRC's main web page, go to bills, pull up 1004. That will give you the text of the piece that we'll be hearing this morning. Any questions on that? Okay. Just I wanted to clarify that. The chair is going to take the latitude to make a slight adjustment to the agenda as far as the order. We will hear House Bill 1033 first, 1034 second, 1004 third, and House Bill 1059 will be fourth on our agenda. I'd also like to remind those that are going to be here to testify, make sure you've signed in at the podium in the back of the room, and make sure that for those lobbyists that you have your proper credentials on. And if you have any handouts, I'd ask that you have our pages who are here working with us, a new set of pages, I'd like to add. They will make distribution to the committee folks here up in the front. And with that, I'd ask for the pages to come up to the microphone and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
I am House Page Matt Milkey from Hartford, South Dakota.
Welcome, Matt.
Brittany Chiak from Tyndall, South Dakota.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yoon from Brandon, South Dakota.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. We have Melissa over there yet, please.
Oh, one more.
Mm-hmm. I'm Melissa from Wakanda, South Dakota.
Hi, Melissa. Welcome. And thanks for your help for the next couple of weeks. I do appreciate that. I'd also like to remember that all questions will be directed through the chair, both from committee members and those here to testify. And with that, let's start our business of the day, we would like to open for consideration House Bill 1033, which is an act to clarify certain requirements relating to insurance examinations. And with that, I will hear proponent testimony for House Bill 1033.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Merle Scheiber with the Division of Insurance. We bring Bill 1033 forward. It's kind of a cleanup, more of a correction on form and style changes that were made on our examination statutes back in 2001. In that change, it had inserted incorrectly the director or myself or whoever would hold this position in when it came to acquiring records on examinations. Those examinations could be market conduct examinations, could be financial examinations, agency examinations, etc. So this bill brings forward and attempts to correct that problem where it says just the director. I don't have those insurance company or insurance agency records in my possession, so it makes no sense to have me examine something I don't have. So we're trying to make that correction in here from a 2001 form and style change correction. There is also an amendment, a friendly amendment that will be offered by the insurance industry, which we have worked with them in support. So that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions.
Will that amendment be addressed here in committee or on the floor?
Here. He's okay. Right behind me here.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1033?
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, South Dakota, and I represent State Farm Insurance. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, the page is circulating a proposed amendment, 1033JA.
Okay. We'll make sure everyone has a copy.
May I address the amendment, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please, address both the amendment and the bill.
As I said, I represent State Farm Insurance. We support House Bill 1033, but in reviewing it, I felt that it was not clear in terms of what information might be required of us. On line 8, the bill purports to require us to provide other relevant information, but it would do that even though that information might not be in our possession and control. So the proposed amendment inserts after the word information on line 8 of the bill, in their possession or control, so that it's clear that the information we're being required to produce is information that we control. It would be incomprehensible that we would be required to produce something that we wouldn't have control of, and so we're simply trying to make it clear that we're happy to produce something we have control over, but something we don't, we would not be required to. That's pretty straightforward. That's the amendment. We hope you will support the amendment with the bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1033? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1033? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none with that, I would open it up for committee questions of those testifying this morning. No questions? How about committee? I'll just close the question. Representative Willison, did you have a comment? How about committee action? I'll open it up for committee action. Representative Willison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the amendment 1033JA.
Representative Willison moved the amendment 1033JA, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion, Representative Willison?
No, sir. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any comment? Seeing none, the motion at hand is to approve Amendment 1033JA. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1033 has been amended. With that, any other comments? Representative Hawley.
I move the bill as amended.
Do pass?
Do pass, please.
Representative Hawley recommends do pass on House Bill 1033, seconded by Representative Konzett. Any comments, Representative Hawley? No comments? Anyone else? Seeing none, since this is final action on House Bill 1033 in our committee, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield. Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Krishman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Konzett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1033, as amended, has received a do pass recommendation. Representative Willop.
Mr. Chair, I'd move consent.
Second.
The motion to move 1033 to the consent calendar by Representative Willardson, seconded by Kirschman. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 1033 is now on the consent calendar. Thank you. Next up on our list is House Bill 1034. This was also brought by the Department of Labor and Regulation. And House Bill 1034 is an act to revise the circumstances under which alterations may be made to certain insurance applications. And with that, I would open House Bill 1034 up for proponent testimony. Good morning, Mr. Moses.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, Department of Labor and Regulation. 1034 is a bill brought to request a clarification to the statute. The current law on the books for life and health insurance applications says that an application someone submits can't be changed by the insurance company without the person's consent, but it provides for an exception, and that exception is for administrative purposes. Unfortunately, we've had some situations where some insurance companies have kind of stretched perhaps what's meant by administrative purposes and actually changed the amounts of coverage, for instance, someone's applied for. And so what we're doing is requesting that the section be amended and to spell out what's administrative purposes and what's not. And in the bill, you'll see that that the administrative purposes means you can't change what the person has applied for. You can't change the amounts of coverage or the types of coverage, but it would still leave the door open for an insurance company to put date stamp it or, you know, assign it to a different department or something like that. But they couldn't change what the person actually put on the paper as far as, or the electronic application as far as what coverages they were actually seeking. So that's the clarification we think would be desirable and straighten out the situation where the changes will be made not to the person's knowledge or certainly to their consent. So with that, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1034? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Opponent testimony? Seeing no opposition, I would open it up for committee comments or questions. Committee action.
Mr.
Representative Konzett. The motion is by Representative Konzett, do pass on House Bill 1034, seconded by Representative Jensen. Any comments?
No, Mr. Chair. Explained perfectly.
Very good. Any other comments? With that, the motion do pass on House Bill 1034. With that, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Konzett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1034 has received favorable recommendation from the committee and is passed. Motion by Representative Greenfield to move 1034 to the consent calendar, seconded by Representative Willardson. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1034 is now on consent. Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to say that you're doing a wonderful job here already, the first our first meeting. So
just don't get in the way, Representative Fargin. You'll get run over. Thank you. I appreciate that. Next item on our agenda, and we're cranking on them, House Bill 1004. House Bill 1004 is an act to reduce the term allowed for covenants not to compete. And with that, I will open House Bill 1004 to proponent testimony. Proponent testimony for House Bill 1004.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative.
Representative Frank Klocek, District 19. We're currently circulating my presentation to the committee members and folks that... Did everybody get one? And I did do my due diligence since you were having some computer trouble. It was just kind of coincidence. I did make a copy in hard copy, the good old printer, so you can see it actually in writing of House Bill 1004. Everybody has one? Okay. Well, we'll get started. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm members of the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. It's indeed an honor to be here with you today. This legislation comes forth from constituents, and it's been on my plate for a few years. And I did say when eventually it would affect somebody that that I knew and needed addressing, I had a constituent come forward and ask for it. And what it does is simply switch from 2 years to 1 year the law on covenants on the non-compete clause. And I want to thank LRC staff for helping us draft it and possible amendments and the whole thing. It was quite a process. It looks like a simple little bill. I do encourage the committee. There will be a lot of opposition. I do ask for rebuttal as usual. The Klocek Lawyer Lobbyist Employment Act is in full effect on this bill. So just want you to know that you've been lobbied hard. But vote. I ask you to vote.
We don't allow advertising in this committee.
Oh, I appreciate that. We will. We will. Please strike those remarks.
Okay. Sure.
But we do enjoy keeping the lobbyists hired. But I'm asking you to support this legislation for the people that can't be here and are afraid to be here, for the common people of South Dakota, the working people, the people that we want to encourage to have good jobs. We talk about right to work. That's a law in this state. And many people support right to work. Well, I ask you to vote for this legislation in that respect. If you support right to work, vote for this change. If you don't support right to work, I ask you to vote for this change because both will benefit. I will read you the letter from the constituent that was unwilling to come, and there was four or five others. They were not unwilling. They were scared to come because of possible concerns about their employment if they would come forth publicly to testify. And that has me concerned, very concerned, and another reason to vote for this change. And I'll read his testimony. 4 years ago, I started with a promising company in my field of study. The first day of employment consisted of orientation and signing a stack of first-day paperwork. Amongst the rush of applying signatures to all this first-day paperwork was a non-compete contract that was rushed and not fully explained. This contract was explained in the manner of, this contract is nothing to worry about unless you are going to try to leave for employment under our direct competitor. After 3+ years of working for the company, on the most part out of South Dakota, I was ready to get back to and settle down in South Dakota. I have no intentions of harming my current employer in any fashion. However, I felt obligated to be honest with my intentions of seeking new employment. A friend and colleague informed me of an open position with a company in the same industry. This South Dakota-based company would allow me to plant my roots in South Dakota. The new company offered me a job with a substantial pay increase and the ability to stay and work in the state. And I will add that this individual was working originally for the company, but all his work was outside the state. He wanted to come here and stay here full-time, and that's why he took the second job. I put my 2 weeks' notice in with my current employer and was called into the office of the following week. I was shown a copy of the non-compete contract I had signed on the first day of employment. It was then explained to me that I could not go to any former clients, customers, or competitors under termination or resignation. The part I did not understand is why I could not go to the company's former client with whom I personally had never worked with or had a work relationship with. The problem with this contract is that the company I work for has or has had relations with almost anyone everywhere I could work in the industry in the state of South Dakota and surrounding areas. So they applied this broad-reaching spectrum to everybody in that industry. Unless I seek employment out of state, I have had 2 associate degrees currently sitting in the closet while I wait this 2-year contract out before I can even look for employment in my industry in the state of South Dakota. There are many other young South Dakotans under this or similar contracts. They spend a lot of time traveling and working out of state in hopes of one day trying to settle down and have the opportunity to seek employment in the state of South Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, that's just one example. One example of the thousands and thousands of people affected by these contracts. I draw attention to your next the next handout. They're all stapled together for your convenience. And again, if you're done with them, if you're going to discard them, I would ask for them back. I have some other uses for them. Don't discard them. Just return them back to me if you're not going to keep them. The National Conference for State Legislators has a handout. Talks about California, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, and Texas as the ones that have these non-compete clauses in state statute. And only Oregon, South Dakota, and Michigan, and Hawaii are all encompassing. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4 states are all encompassing. Otherwise, the rest of the states are very specific and narrow in their terms of non-compete clauses. And among those narrow terms is physicians in one state, television broadcasters in 3 states, partners where there's partnerships, and again, physicians as well. Very narrow definitions in most of the other states. And in South Dakota, it says, covenants not to compete. Any employee may agree with an employer at the time of employment or at any time during his employment not to engage directly or indirectly in the same business or profession that his employer for any period not exceeding the 2 years. And that's right off the bill from the date of termination with agreement not to solicit existing customers of the employer with the specified county, first or second class municipality, or other specified area for any period not exceeding 2 years from the date of termination. If the employer carries on a like business there and continues to carry on a like business. And there's also a part in the law that specifically does insurance companies. It specifically pinpoints insurance companies for that 2-year clause. And again, we're trying to change that as well. Why, you ask? Well, I says, well, let's do a little research. American Family Insurance, a nationwide recognized insurance company, very respectable insurance company, has a 1-year clause in South Dakota. So I ask, why not the rest of the industry? If American Family can do it, why not the rest of the insurance industry? Non-compete contracts are enforceable. Generally, the courts will look upon them as enforceable. But many states do not favor these. California completely threw it out, a very narrow definition just recently, and I have that lawsuit or that court case in the packet here. New York is a state that limits enforceability, as does California. And California, of all states, with all their computer technology, you would think they would be in the forefront of compete clauses, and they have found out otherwise. So anyway, there's several different items that are enforced with non-compete clauses. One is the reasonableness rule. A non-compete clause in the contract must be reasonable. The courts balance the employer's interest in its information and resources with the right of an employee to work someplace else. And, you know, we're not just talking about getting a job someplace else. We're talking about economic development for South Dakota, that those people will stay in the state and actually come back to the state to keep their jobs, and they can get $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 increases in pay They're trying to upgrade their lives, their families, and bring that money home back to South Dakota and live here. And we're saying 2 years before you can even consider doing that. Okay, the reasonless rule is number one. Number two is the independent consideration. Some states require the employee to receive independent consideration before they recognize the non-compete clause. And I believe you kind of know what that is. The contract is entered into in the work relationship. An employer wants to sign the clause before it begins. It's number two. Number three is the duration. Of course, I've been asked to say, and I will say it, you know, if people wanted to, they could go and put a 10-year clause in and say you can't do this for 10 years. Well, again, the enforceability of the courts would be tough. Usually the 1 and 2 years is what's recognized by the courts as a more fair doctrine. But 2 years, why is that too long? And we'll get to that, too. I don't want to lose that thought. Duration is very important. They allow equal parties to negotiate the time frame. Distance, the geographic limits, usually state boundaries are recognized in a few out of state, but mostly in-state boundaries. And in the instance I'm talking about, the gentleman worked out of state all the time for this company. He lived there, came back very little. 2, 4, 6 months at a time before he could even come back, he would stay out of state working for this in-state company. And by changing jobs, he would be allowed with the new employer to stay in-state full-time. And was promised someday, and the someday never came to bring back with that home company. Courts may limit the clause to only a small state or area. The blue pencil rule. The big blue pencil means that the court has the authority to modify a non-compete contract if it's too limiting. It can enforce a modified contract. Some states prohibit this. Some say up or down. It's a non-competitive contract, or it is or it isn't. And then the final principle is the liability for new employers. New employers hire them with non-compete contracts. They can be sued for damages. Employers must always inform in touch in potential employers of any non-competes. And, of course, the mistake this gentleman made and women, men and women of South Dakota is always when you sign something, either take it to a good lawyer or make sure you absolutely know what you're signing and don't rush over anything where you have to put your signature on the line. But getting back to that, you know, why shouldn't we allow go to from 2 years to 1 year to make it more reasonable? Why shouldn't we do all we can to give those employees the right to work in the state we love here in South Dakota? Why do we have to put these things out there for financial consideration of the employer who's already getting a huge benefit by some of the cheapest wages and least labor laws of any state in the nation? We say we're for the employee. We want them to have the right to work here in South Dakota, and then we do things like this non-compete clause, which actually flies in the face of everything we say we believe in as individuals, as businesses, and as South Dakotans. So anyway, and then the rest of the information is just some legalisms. I believe the one talks about on November 19, 2009, the California Court of Appeals did a landmark legislation in repealing the right to work or modifying it, a huge modification of it and narrowing, and that does have that decision there. The history of the covenants, the non-compete clause, you know, and we're saying there is a need, some say, for this, and that's to protect those businesses that have built up a client base or a relationship, they call it, which is a word I kind of detest because to me a relationship means something more than what they call it, but definitions being what they mean. The history goes back to 1450 in English common law. The majority of the United States do recognize some types of that law, and we do have some examples of states that have non-competes, and then again it talks about California, and that out-of-state agreements usually are not enforceable. So it just gives you a little history of that, and rather than bore you with all the history, I just give it to you for the reading. I'm just, you know, really concerned that we're going down this path, and we talk about economic development over and over again. That's all you hear about. Well, we want these businesses to come to South Dakota. We want to attract the best and brightest back into our state. And yet, when it comes time to put the tire to the road or put the money in the bank, we fall apart. We do these non-compete clauses, which actually do the exact opposite and drive our young people out of South Dakota. We do the exact opposite and drive our young people out of South Dakota. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be glad to stand by for the numerous opponents to this thing and ask for your due diligence and support and send a strong message and send this out. Do pass, and we'll have a lively debate on the floor. I'll grant you that. And I do think it's time we look at a change like this. You know, if I would have been really obstinate, I guess I could have come with a total repealer. I could have said, let's repeal this whole thing. And then we could have went in and offered an amendment, a friendly amendment in the beginning, and said, okay, I compromised. I met you halfway. I went for 1 year. I said, rather than do the paperwork and do all the messing around, we came with the compromise right away. This is a compromise. It's neither against the repealer or for the severe restriction of 2 years. It's right down the middle, and I think it's something that both sides can live for. The people that came to me with this proposed the 1 year. This is what they wanted. My constituents wanted the 1 year. They thought that was a fair time to be punished if somebody did sign that and then go and take another job. Those people's lives are on hold for 2 years. Computers are obsolete after 1 year. Job frames, that's $40,000 to this South Dakotan out of his pocket. $20,000 increase in pay was going to be received for taking the new job. $40,000, they're punished, and they can work in no other industry in that field. It applies to sales, communications. It's a broad-based thing that we're punishing our people with. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time. Of course, I would like to have a fair time of rebuttal, and I think we're doing that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1004? Proponents. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Jim Putnam from Armour, District 19, of which the bill has originated. That would be Douglas, Bonham, Hutchinson County, and a part of Turner. When the bill was brought to me by Representative Klocek, and he brought some constituents with him with regard to the premise of the bill, I really was somewhat mystified but curious because I, too, like Representative Klocek, I'm glad that he's for the right-to-work state anyway, but I was curious as to how that could work. When I did a little research, I went out and visited with some different industries with regard to this bill and was surprised to learn that many folks did not know this statute even existed, but some evidently did. And so for that reason, I thought that I would at least sign on as a Senate sponsor. I know this is a little bit different to come in and speak to a House bill, but let you know where I'm coming from. And I am extremely interested in the opponents to the proponent with regard to what we're thinking about in South Dakota and whether or not that time frame does make a difference. We know there are contracts out there that are, of course, entirely different. They can go as many years as the contract is put in place with regard to non-compete. When I talk to, let's say, I'll just give you an example, a beer wholesaler who puts out his plans. In other words, they go out, let's say, Bud or any other beer hole goes ahead and sets up plans for the year. They have written contracts with their distributors that say that they can't just quit the day after the plans come out and go to work for the other fella and let them know what's going on in the promotional world with their business. I can certainly understand that. But this intrigued me to the extent that I know it's going to be a good debate, and I'm interested in the outcome, and I think some of the industries are also interested because I don't know that they understood it properly. With that, I'll stand by and listen to the questions that Representative Klocek is going to answer and make a decision after that. But anyway, thank you for allowing me to come up, even though I'm a Senate sponsor, and listen to the debate and at least offer my thoughts on it and what it was all about. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. You bet. Appreciate that. Any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1004? Proponents? Seeing no other proponents, I will hear opponent testimony to House Bill 1004. Opponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, committee members, Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for the National Federation of Independent Business. My daughter, Lindsay Ryder-Rapp, is actually their state director, but she was tied up in another matter this morning. we're here, and I talked to David Owens. Mr. Owens had to leave. He indicated also that the entity that he works with, South Dakota Chambers, also has similar perspectives as I hope to offer to you this morning. It's clear Representative Klocek and Senator Putman have spent some time and effort on this, and I commend them for looking at this issue, because frankly this is an important issue. There are a lot of business people in South Dakota that depend upon these covenants not to compete, because what they do is they train their employees in the best practices in the business that they have. And generally you use these types of covenants in management employees, managerial people, someone that's has an important role for you, and you don't want them to necessarily take what they've learned as far as best practices and take the relationship with the customers that you've helped them develop and they have developed for your business, take that to a competitor and compete directly against you in the same general area while you're still involved in the business. And the law does say this covenant only applies to situations where I'm still doing business in that area. If I happen to no longer do business in it, then the covenant no longer applies. The law also says that the covenant shall only apply to a specific area or territory that has to be designated at the very beginning, at the very commencement of the covenant not to compete, that document. So there is many conditions that have to be included in the document before the document is even valid and can go forward. As far as the time constraint, you know, if I sell my business, and Senator Putman mentioned this, if I were to sell my business, I can, the buyer can make a requirement out of me that I not compete directly or indirectly, not just for 2 years, but into the future. It can be 5 years, it can be 10 years, because they're paying money and people understand that when you are involved in a business, that sure, you show up and you work from 7 to 7, but you develop these relationships and there you develop the goodwill relationship, whether you're a chiropractor or whether you're a business person downtown doing something else. You work hard to develop those relationships so your customers will think of you when they have that particular need. So on the sale of business, it's unlimited. There is no time limitation in the statute. Now, when you're dealing with employees, this legislature has determined many years past, frankly, that 2 years was a reasonable period of time. Now, since that statute was passed long ago, and more recently, I think in 2006, there was a decision from a federal court in South Dakota that said, if I am fired or my relationship is terminated with my business through no fault of my own, in other words, it wasn't a for-cause termination, that this reasonableness test that Representative Klocek spoke to is applicable. So if it is an employee who loses his or her job through no fault of their own, then the employer must show that this covenant not to compete is reasonable under the circumstances. So there is protection for an employee that doesn't unilaterally decide, I'm going to leave, take a job with somebody else for another $20,000, because they know I've already got this relationship developed with all these clients in this area, and then go out and solicit these same customers that I worked with for Company A earlier. So what they've said is, on that case, in a situation like that where you voluntarily and unilaterally decide to leave, then this covenant, you don't look at the reasonableness of it. If there's a downsizing and someone has to lose his or her job, then the court can look at the reasonableness of the situation. So we would suggest that there are situations where this sometimes seems harsh, but I've seen many, many situations. I'm also a lawyer. I've seen many, many situations in my practice where I represent small business people who have entered into covenants not to compete with their employees, and how important it is to them to keep their business intact so that they know in the central South Dakota area where I work that there's not going to be this former employee going off and either starting his or her own business to compete directly with the party with whom they'd had worked, or starting work with someone else. So we think that the statute as it exists is good. We don't believe that the circumstances mandate that there be a modification to the statute. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other opponent testimony?
Good morning, good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Miller with Bank West Corporation. Bank West, in all of their locations, has a large insurance department, so this is a direct effect upon us. When you think about the non-compete clause, if you're an employer, an insurance company, who's hiring an experienced agent, then you want that clause to be as short as it can be. But if you're the insurance agency that an experienced agent is leaving, then you want that non-compete clause to be as long as it can be. So it presents this conundrum, if you will, and what we end up with is the current law. There's no screaming out there to change this law. The law really isn't broken. The current law works very well for us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Good morning, Mr. Hewitt.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Hewitt. I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations. I think the previous testifier said it best, that this law works really both ways. And I can tell you, in terms of hospitals and nursing homes and the health systems of this state, it does work both ways. But in terms of entering into a conversation and a negotiation in a contractual way with potential employees, they may be physicians, they may be other healthcare professionals, it is very important in terms of the hospitals and the nursing homes and the health systems developing important positions and being able to enter into the discussion of, you know, if you sign with us, you are going to be with us for a while because, in fact, we are investing in you mightily. We invest, the hospital will invest in terms of technology, in terms of training, in terms of the business acumen, if you will, of the group. And so in that regard, this is an essential part of making employment contracts whole, if you will. It's a part of the discussion. And we believe that the current law, allowing it to be up to 2 years is the right way to go. You could reduce it to one, but having the latitude, on the part of, from the employer's perspective is important, and we would urge you to keep it at 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Opponent testimony to House Bill 1004.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, my name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association, and we are opposed to the proposed change set forth in House Bill 1004. I think Mr. Ryder laid out the history and some of the problems with this proposal, but I need to remind the committee that these agreements are very difficult for the employer to enforce. As Mr. Ryder mentioned, if an employer has to try and enforce this covenant, the court may impose a reasonableness test and also then have to balance the interests in that agreement to see if the terms are in fact reasonable. We are also concerned about proprietary information that employee may have and take that down the street to a competitor. Another concern is we believe these agreements do have value. So if I have a business and I have employment contracts or covenant not to compete contracts with my employees, and I decide to sell my business, I can assign those contracts as a part of the sale to the new owner of my business. And I think if you reduce that to 1 year, you may be affecting the value of those agreements. And for those reasons, we are opposed to House Bill 1004. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. Any other opponents to House Bill 1004? Any other opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing none, I would give the sponsor of the bill the latitude for a two-minute rebuttal.
Maybe a 1 minute.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair and Madam Co-Chair. If that would be a Klocek time 2 minute rebuttal, we're all for it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will just briefly bring some things up to your consideration. And the Honorable Mr. Hood said it would be very difficult for employers to enforce. Well, I would agree to a point, except if you just lost your job, can't go work in the industry in your state and take a job with much less money and concerned about future employment, take that to court. Yeah, you may win, but you don't have the deep pockets, number one, to pay for the attorney and then take the risk of losing and not getting your job in the first place. It's a very difficult situation to decide to appeal these things. That would be my first counter to that. My second one would be the insurance industry with American Family doing the 1 year. If they can make it work, why can't the others? The broadcast industry, all those industries can do that now. They can do contracts of all different kinds. In the medical profession, they have different contracts they enter into, even the state of South Dakota, where they go and forgive 1 year tuition if they come and practice in a rural area. And when they, if they do not continue, then that when that date drops off, their future right off of their college education is not forgiven as well. So we already have things that do protect the hospitals and the nursing homes, those kinds of things. The other issue, not only the money issue, but is farming. We don't have non-compete clauses in farming. I have a neighbor, and I'll give you his name afterwards. He trained a young man who went out to work, and now he farms 2-3 miles away in direct competition with that farmer. And, yeah, he does. They help each other with chores and things, but that was a relationship that we keep thinking about ourselves. Me, 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 me. When are we going to start thinking about the we of South Dakota and what's good for the people and why we want people to come back to South Dakota and live here? And we do these kinds of things, but, oh, no, we've got to do the old fear factor thing. I could have had hundreds of people here. There's 6 people that want to testify today, but were afraid to because of the loss or punishment or whatever of their jobs. That's terrible. On a personal note, my family has hired many high school students who went on to become successful dairy farmers, sales for ag corporations, meat processors, truckers, ag repair businesses, and other family farmers over the years. And I'm very proud to do that. It was a very good so-called relationship or very good thing for our family and for those young people that went on to be successful workers, taxpayers, business people. In the state of South Dakota. So I see no reason why we cannot do this. The dollar figures, there was not one person that put a dollar figure on the loss of their industry today. And I would challenge you that if we do pass this, that the dollar figures coming back into the state will far exceed any loss to those businesses and the competition. Are we for fair and open competition in the workplace? If we are, then we need to vote for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. With that, I would open the discussion up to the committee for and give you the opportunity for questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Konzit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to say to Representative Klocek, it's disturbing and saddening that the people that you're representing felt that they could not come and testify, although I do understand the idea behind it. Next,
in some of the examples that were given, when the representative said that he had trained people and they had gone on to have other careers and he was glad to help, the key phrase there is they went on. They moved to another career. They moved into another field. They moved to the farm down the street. I find that we are one of the best business climates in the state of South Dakota representing businesses. And I think that we do treat our employees fairly here. Long gone are the days of the retirement party and the gold watch. I think I've been to one in my lifetime, my father-in-law. But the idea behind this is valid. It says up to, not exceeding a 2-year period, which I feel is right on spot. A business could choose to have the contract be less than that. This was put into place, as been stated very throughout the testimony, confidential information, marketing plans, sensitive customer client list. These things need to be protected within the state of South Dakota. The average person today has between 8 and 10 jobs in their lifetime. And just imagine if you just went from one job to the next job, gaining all that information and all that confidential information that was shared to you by your employer, trade secrets, that would benefit the employee, but it would definitely do damage to the employers. Thank you.
I thought there was going to be a question embedded in that somewhere along the line. Any other questions of the committee members? Representative Hubble. Questions? Okay. Any other questions by committee members? Seeing no questions, I have one question of Representative Klocek. Representative, as I read through, you know, it looks like there were just a very minimal change to the way the statute presently reads and changing 2 years to 1 year. But, however, as I read this statute, I read it as being permissive language for a business. With the use of the word may, okay? And also it says period not exceeding, the way our present law reads, 2 years, and you're changing it to one. Is there anything that you see in the statute, the way it reads today, that says an employer can't write a non-compete for 1 year?
No.
Okay. And then my next question is, I take it from your testimony that you're addressing this possibly toward the insurance industry. Is that the way I understand that?
No. It's everybody. The insurance industry carved this out themselves a number of years ago to make sure they were, I call it the double-barreled shotgun approach. They wanted the state law and this part of the law to make sure they had more gunpowder when they went, if they did go to court. And that's the way I interpret it, and I guess I'd ask for legal counsel. I'm certainly not a lawyer and would not try to be one, but I do think that the insurance industry did carve this out so they could have it very clear that they wanted this 2-year clause. And if I could, the whole reason for this is to increase job enhancement here in South Dakota, and this is certainly one way to do that.
Thank you, Representative. That's all the questions I have. Anyone else?
Yep.
Representative Hubble, you have a question,
yes,
please?
Yes, question for Jim Hood, please. Hi, Jim. I think it was you who said that propriety information is what you're worried about passing from one firm to another. Is it possible to have just that as protected and not the person's actual livelihood? be squandered for 2 years? I mean, couldn't you just say, you know, we don't want you taking this proprietary information with you when you go, but we're not going to tell you that you can't work? Is that a possibility?
Mr. Hood?
Mr. Chairman, yes. Representative Hubble, I think that would be very difficult to carve that out. You know, proprietary information certainly is a concern, but also there are others that the other proponents have talked about, including client lists, employee training costs. You know, you invest in that employee, and you don't want them, after you've trained them, to decide, well, the competitor down the street's offering me a better deal, and I'm going to go to work for them and take with me the information that I have gained from my present employer, including the training as well as proprietary information and customer lists, for example.
Another question?
Follow up?
If that would happen, our situation is that we run a mom-and-pop shop, and somebody said that this was not a law that's concerned of anybody. Oh, yes, it is. This does affect a lot of people, and I hear a lot of people complaining about this non-compete law, how it affects their livelihood. I can also see where the businesses would like to have their information protected. Isn't there some other way through legal courts or something that you can protect your information but still allow the person to work? I mean, you could do that through the legal system.
Mr. Hood?
I think Representative Hubble, it is possible to draft as a part of the employment agreement a confidentiality agreement also.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will now open it up for committee comments. Any comments by the committee?
Representative Kirsch. I know a situation in Sioux Falls between the two hospitals that a woman was threatened if she didn't sign the two-year thing, so she wouldn't quit and go work for the other hospital. So I don't think I think it's coercion in some cases.
Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd like to congratulate the sponsor. It's obvious that he has done his homework and that he worked very hard on this legislation. He brought forth the fact that, in Section 2 is the insurance end of it, and that American Family has a one-year no-compete clause in their contract. And so it made me go back to my own contract with Farmers and dust it off and take a look at it, which I hadn't done in a number of years. And I discovered that I have a one-year no-compete clause in my contract. I honestly didn't know if it was one or two before I opened it up. And so, Representative Klocek, I thank you for making me take a look at that. But I got to looking at it then, why would a big insurance company use a one-year no-compete when the law clearly says that they can go to two? So I did some snooping around with some friends of mine in management, and I discovered that they use it as a recruiting tool. Companies that are recruiting new agents find themselves in a very competitive situation. Although it's been 30 years ago since I was doing that, I too looked at several companies before I made the decision to sign on the line. And maybe I just forgot, but I'd like to think that one of the reasons was that I only had a one-year no-compete clause on my contract. Something disturbed me a little bit in the sponsor's opening testimony and made me question the reason that he's bringing this bill, because he said that his real choice would be to eliminate the no-compete clause entirely. And so it makes me wonder, if we change it to a one-year clause, Is this just the first step? And then next year we'll be talking about eliminating the no-compete clause entirely? I don't know. So we have heard testimony, very good testimony today. And the Reader's Digest version of that is, hey, the law is not broken. This is a fix that's looking for a solution type thing. So I would urge the committee to defeat House Bill 1004. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Oh, and Mr. Chair, if we could take Representative Klocek up on his offer, and after we're done voting on this bill, if we could have the pages pick up the information and return it to Representative Klocek, I think that's a good offer.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Representative Hubbell?
Yes, I am going to support this bill. One of the reasons is because in my business, I am currently in real estate. There are buyer's markets and there are seller's markets. And we have seen a shift in that market. And I think in the employer and employee market, there are those shifts also. It used to be an employee's market where you could get a job any place you wanted to, just apply and you'd be serviced. It's more of an employer's market, and I see this bill as helping the employee out more than when they need it. And this is a time when the employees need it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Jentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1994, I lost 12 salespeople, three of which were national champions. And if I would have done my due diligence, I would have had my act together and had them sign a non-compete. I don't think it's unreasonable to have a one-year non-compete. It took us a couple of years to build back up, but I am not going to support this bill. I'm somewhat torn, but I'm not going to support it. And that's not because of who's bringing it or what organizations are supporting it, but I'm just going to oppose this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Representative Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As an agency owner of a small agency, I probably need to address a little bit the example of American Family is of a large company. They lose an agency or agent or two, it's not going to hurt them, or they lose them in a community. In my case, where you have a small agency in a smaller community, if I hire a new employee as a producer, first off, I should state that my customer service reps, my CSR, who handle the paperwork, process it, there's no non-competes for them, and there pretty much isn't in the industry, so it doesn't affect them. It's primarily with producers that we bring on. But if I hire a new producer, it's a three-year period before I'm going to start getting my money back. And I will probably have, in a young producer, $100,000 tied up in him. So if I don't have some kind of strings on him, I may question if I want to spend $100,000 to bring somebody in as a new producer and find somebody else to do it who's trained already. And so first thing you might see is that a lot of, especially agencies, aren't going to be hiring young people because they can't afford to put the money out without some guarantees that they're going to be able to get some return back. I have hired agents, on the other hand, who have also had prior experience, and they have worked for other agencies, and they come to work for me. They've got non-competes, and we understand that. And they don't contact their clients for 2 years. They're still able to stay in the business, in the industry, and we honor their non-compete. And then after 2 years, if they want, they can go and contact those people. So I think that we have a fair system right now for both sides, for my producers. It allows me to hire producers and put some money into them without worrying about losing the money, but it also protects me as an agency principal. And the point about my agency value is when you come in and they do an agency evaluation for you on the marketability of it, one of the big things is that you have non-competes signed with all your producers. And it can dramatically affect the value of my book of business if I was to sell it, if I did not have non-competes. So I think this bill, even though it's well-intentioned, from my industry standpoint, is going to create huge problems. First off, it's going to immediately reduce the book of business of an agency value. And the second thing is I probably am going to look a lot closer to putting a lot of money in hiring a new young producer because I won't have any guarantees that I'm going to be protected. So I have to vote against the bill. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing no other comments, I'll open it up for committee action. Representative Willetson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move to the 41st day.
The motion by Representative Willetson is to move House Bill 1004 to the 41st legislative day, seconded by Representative Jensen. Any comments, Representative Willetson?
I think we've hit them all. Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, the motion at hand is to move House Bill 1004 to the 41st legislative day. All of those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargent.
Aye.
Excuse me. Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubbell.
No.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willetson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We had 11 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1004 by a majority vote of the members present has been moved to the 41st legislative day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm members of the
Thank you, Representative. Oh, would one of our pages please pick up the literature Representative Klocek passed out and make sure he gets it back, please? Yeah. We had one bill left. We had one bill left on our agenda. That was House Bill 1059. I had been asked to defer House Bill 1059 to a later date. Apparently, there is some further input that the sponsors of the bill would like to add. And so, therefore, we will not handle House Bill 1059. I will reschedule that for a day as yet uncertain. And some riveting reading. I would suggest all of you partake in looking at that bill. So, seeing that there's no other work for the committee to do, I would entertain a motion for adjournment. That motion for adjournment by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Fargent. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.